Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, July 31st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 89, starting with Practical Experience Shows, reading through two paragraphs ending with Is the Bright Spot of Our Lives, and the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Leslie W., The 12 Traditions, Nancy T., and the readers of the text are Elaine T. and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Monday, July 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,722. That is 11722. And for today's meeting, Tuesday, July 31st, 7 a.m. meeting is 11,724. That is 11724. And our newcomer greeter, as always, is Melanie C. Now, a preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Leslie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hey, thanks, Mo. I'm here. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Leslie W., and I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on starting in the chapter Working with Others, page 89. Starting with practical experience shows, reading through two paragraphs, ending with is the bright spot of our lives, and the comments will be on both paragraphs. And I will now ask Elaine T. to get us started. Elaine, press star 1 to unmute, please.
Mo, this is Leslie. I can step in for you if you need.
Okay. Let's give her another minute here, another second.
Okay,
minute.
No problem.
All right, thank you. Elaine T., can you press star 1? We're not hearing you. All right, I'm not hearing anything. Leslie, will you please step in and do that for us?
Yes, I will. It's just the first paragraph on 89, correct?
Two paragraphs, reading through
now?
Two paragraphs, ending with...
Oh, there she is.
Is that Elaine?
There you go, Elaine.
I'm so sorry. I'm having a Monday.
You're having a Monday.
A
it's a Tuesday. All right. Go ahead, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your patience, guys. Yeah, what can I say? My name is Elaine T. I am recovered just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm phone challenged, I guess. So practical experience shows that nothing will much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Wow, I love Bill's writing, and he doesn't really leave a lot to say because he does it so well, but I'll try. This is one of the steps that I love the most. I'm very much a people person, and it is so fulfilling to help when no one else can, and to see people recover or the light go on as you explain something that someone else has explained to you, giving credit where credit is due, and have the wonderful fellowship that we do have. So that we have friends and not nowhere near fair weather friends, but deep, abiding friendships with people who because they're working this program, are willing to reach out and help others. And sometimes in my life, I have found that to be very rare. And always in my life, I have found that to be a great blessing. So it is the bright spot of my life. As a sponsor, though, I have to say that it's the sponsees who make life for me. And not too long ago, I was having a difficult moment, as life continues, and frankly feeling very sorry for myself because my children don't have time for me at the moment. They're very, very, very busy in their own lives. And I'm very proud of them, and they are wonderful people. But sometimes I get feeling sorry for myself, and I was calling a sponsee was calling me for our daily or our weekly meeting, and I just honestly shared with her where I was at, and she reflected that back so clearly and so sweetly that I started to laugh because, you know, it was the sponsee helping the sponsor, not the other way around. And that is a true gift, you know, when we're given that mirror for a moment to help us get out of ourselves, and then we get to enjoy passing this wonderful message and the healing that this brings, that I do wish it on everyone, whether they're compulsive overeaters, alcoholics, addicts. It doesn't matter to, you know, to me it seems like it's the best way to live. And all the things that I thought growing into adulthood that I didn't have the skills for because, quote, no one taught me, well, they're here. They're absolutely right here. So every teenager should get this book as they butt into adulthood. But I am grateful for all of you. I am grateful for this book and to be able to carry this message. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine T. And I will now remind everybody where we are at. We're on page 89, starting with practical experience shows, reading through two paragraphs, ending with is the bright spot of our lives. And I will now take names of those who would like to comment.
Laura L.
John K.
Julie E.B.
Rocky I.
I have Laura L., John K., Julie E.B., Rocky I.
Deb
Anyone
G.
Else? Oh, I missed. I was talking. Sorry.
Deb. Deb G.
I got you, Deb. One more.
P.
Who was that?
Tassie P.
Patsy?
It's Tassie. It starts with a T like Thomas.
Oh, okay. Okay. Laura, okay, here we go. I'll take this group. Laura L., John K., Julie E.B., Rocky I., Deb B., and Kathy T. All right, Laura L., please start us off.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Well, thank you for your service and for everyone on the line. And this is my first time sharing. I've been listening to Vision for almost a year now, and I'm a bit of an introvert, so it takes a lot for me to get on the line. So I'm glad that I'm able to do it today. I really feel very moved by the paragraphs that were read today, because it's so relevant to what's happening for me right now. I've only recently started to sponsor, and already I've seen and experienced both some fear around, you know, just wondering, am I good enough to do this? Do I have enough recovery? Do I have enough knowledge? But also experiencing the benefits of being able to give to somebody else. That has really helped me, especially right now. I'm visiting family, and it's been a really difficult time for me. And just yesterday, I spoke to my sponsee, and she was having some issues, and it was just took me right out of my own suffering and my own head and my own self-will, and completely refocused on helping her. And that that was just so valuable in that moment. So I've already experienced the benefits of sponsorship, and it's yet another transformative part of this program, I'm finding. So that's all I wanted to share about it, but I thank you so much for everyone for being here and for letting me share today.
Thank you, Laura L. John K., followed by Julie E.B. John, you're on.
Thank you very much. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, the first time I heard of this concept of helping others, you know, I was in my first program, AA, and I was selfish and self-centered and cynical. And I remember saying, oh, these people are just looking for people to do free labor, you know. You know, and now I understand what it's all about. But it also points out this sort of strange teaching thing in 12-step programs. I've always said you have to have faith in this 12-step program, but it's more about the faith in the process, not necessarily faith in higher power. Because so many of the things in the program I now understand, having done them, I didn't understand in the beginning when I was told, well, never mind, just do it anyway. And it wasn't until later I got to see it. And the 12-step, I think, is a perfect example. You know, this doing service for others, it got me to be part of the program and meeting others, not just sitting around auditing program. It got me out of myself and my self-centered world, you know. And that made me feel better about myself. And there's nothing better for self-esteem than, you know, doing unselfish things without thought of reward. And you know, today I do a lot of service because I enjoy it. And what's said here is true. There's nothing like watching and hearing people recover. You know, obviously in our program, we see some amazing physical transformations, you know, people losing weight and often a lot of weight. But, you know, I can tell you they lose probably even more weight off their shoulders. You start to see a spark in their eyes. They start to have fun. I mean, I've hardly ever seen a brand new newcomer walk into his first meeting laughing, you know. But within a few weeks, they are. They found their tribe, you know. It's a great feeling. And it's also wonderful to see somebody who's been struggling in relapse all of a sudden, you know, find that life rope and climb out of the hole. And, you know, sadly, in my home meetings here in L.A., sometimes there's a lot of people sitting on their hands when it's time for volunteering for service. And often it's the same people doing the service over and over. But you know what? You know, those people are the old-timers. And that's how they got to be old-timers. Often the people who don't volunteer don't stick around either. And that's why I, you know, if I want what they have, I do what they do. And I also do service one really other important reason, and that's that I'm alive, you know, and that's thanks to AA and OA. If I had been born a century before I was, I'd have been dead by 30, you know. And you know how much I was charged by those programs for saving my life? Zero. Zero. All they said is if you can put some money in the basket, fine. If you can't, also fine. And so that's the least I can do is to keep giving back, you know. And I always, if people ask me about service, I pull out the big book and I read one of my favorite little things about service. It's from Dr. Bob's Nightmare, where he says, I spent a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want it and need it badly. And I do it for four reasons. One, a sense of duty. Two, it is a pleasure. Three, because in doing so, I am paying my debt to the man who took the time to pass it to me. And four, because every time I do it, I will take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. And it's so true. And what was just said also, when I'm in a bad place, clean house and help another alcoholic. Thanks. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, John K. Julie E.B., followed by Rocky I. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered with a daily reprieve here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm just so thrilled to be able to share on working with others. Just the title alone, I didn't used to be able to work with others. It was either my way or the highway, or I would just not say anything and continue along unhappily, burying my feelings of shame as I sought to be around other people. Feelings of uselessness and loneliness will disappear. It says, well, here is my chance. Nothing will so much ensure immunity. This entire set of two paragraph, I have highlighted as promises, it works when other activities fail. So many people are scared to sponsor that I talk to. And addressing that group, the thing that I would say is what got me recovered about my sponsor, she showed me a message of depth and weight that a bright light in her eyes that made me want to work with her. But as we got in the book, a lot of what she shared were things like, great job, great insight, way to go, yes, you're getting it. The idea that we have to be able to, the depth and weight has to be our knowledge. No, it is this book that holds the knowledge. We are there to be privileged to secure their confidence and then to just help them grow up. Life will take
here
on your
I can
need.
You and I can
this was a really, this was a really important set of. Someone's unmuted.
Yes,
this is
Julie.
An important set. This is an important set of paragraphs for me because I was always lonely. And it was just a few months ago in my face-to-face meeting that I shared that it was gone. And I use, you know, some different ways to make networks and reach out to other people, the outreach network and a 10-step network, 11-step train. And to some people, you know, using these things, some people have a group that grew up around them. Different ways God brings this suggestion to different people. And there's no need as a recovered person to struggle with the different ways that so many people receive the gifts of this book. My final word to those who are still suffering, remember they are very ill. And I find it a privilege to listen to and care for people who are still suffering, who are still in the food, or harder yet, can't live with it and can't live without it. And it's not about my demand. It's about being ready to go when they're ready to go. And so often I felt ready to go, but I couldn't live with it and couldn't live without it. So keep reaching out one day at a time. There are people to do service, and you are being of service as you reach out as a newcomer. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Julie E.B. Rocky I, followed by Deb G.
Good morning. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi, this is Rocky I in Tempe, Arizona, recovered. I love this chapter, working with others, and really is my favorite part after step 10. I love working with people. I love how they get it, you know. I love to see that light bulb go on, and some of them like feel doom and cry because they realize the powerlessness. But once they get it, you know, to see them recover, not only physical but a spiritual, and like you can see, like John said, you can see the spark in their eyes, and it's just so amazing to witness. So yeah, me too. OAACR. I've seen dead people, walking people that is dead. I wish we took mug shots of how they come in, and just to see them, you know, flourish back to life. And it's just something that we really don't want to miss. So to the old timers, get on your feet and get to seek people and share. And to the newcomers, I hope that you're really, really, really desperate, that you want to work this program and learn this program like your life depends on it, because it does. So just, it works. It's just a wonderful gift. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky I. Deb G, followed by, I think it's Cassie T. So you'll correct me when we get there. Deb G.
Hi, this is Deb G. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you so much for your service today. I decided, this is my first time sharing, and I decided to share specifically because of this 12th suggestion about nothing helps another as much as working with other alcoholics. And I'm on the road. I've been on the road for 3 months, and I've realized that the contact with other OAs, my sponsees and my sponsor, has been a lifeline for me. And when it says practical experience shows that nothing will so much as ensure immunity from drinking as working with another alcoholic, practical in my mind means it's not a theory, it's real. And the truth is, my experience has been that when I work with other people, I feel uplifted. I feel like I'm giving away something that's been so beautifully given to me. And I remember my first OA meeting 14 years ago. I walked in the room, and I didn't think there was anybody else in the world that had a relationship with food like I did. And when I heard other people share, I literally started crying. I went, I can't believe these people are sitting here and know my story. And it's true that no one except another food addict or another alcoholic can help me as much as one who understands this experience. No one else understood compulsive overeating until I came into the rooms. And just having that sense of connection and collaboration with others who were traveling in the same disease was really powerful to me. So I can't underestimate the power of service and what it's done for me. I can now try to give to others. You know, the first 11 steps, we're working on cleaning ourselves out so we can have this more powerful connection with God, because we can't overcome this disease without that power. And then now we're saying, well, now that I have this power and I'm working with God, what do I do with it? And God says, you got to turn around and give it away, because that's the whole point. This is a fellowship. This is not you on the road alone. This is you working with others. And when someone was reading the traditions this morning, it was all about working with other people. It's critical. And so we have to have structure and guidelines and traditions so that we can share what we've learned and give it away so that it works and it helps the community. So I really love this chapter. It makes complete sense that it would be here. And I have secured other people's confidence when no one else could, and they've done the same for me. So I do have that practical experience, and I encourage everyone to give service because it's part of keeping my sobriety. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, and thank you, Deb G. Welcome. And is it Tassie T? Please correct me.
Yeah, you got it right. It's T like Thomas, A, S like Sally, I, Tassie.
Okay, thank you very much for helping me out.
No problem, and thank you for your service in facilitating this meeting.
Yes,
I am not a newcomer to OA, but actually have been around for going on 10 years, actually, and had some wonderful recovery and periods of abstinence, but also periods of not, and I think my recovery continues to grow, and I hope that one day that particular abstinence cycle will be broken for the better. When I was first recovered enough to have something to offer someone else, my sponsor tried to talk me into, and other people, you know, tried to tell me that it was time to think about doing that kind of service. And I, like other people have reflected on, was very hesitant. It took me a while, and then I got to the point where I realized that actually I had been given an enormous amount of recovery and help, and my life had been enormously transformed, really, and that I really did have enough to give away, and that if that was going to help me, at first I was thinking about helping someone else because I now knew something that I didn't know before, and I knew how helpful it had been when others shared that sort of thing with me, and so I was motivated by that. But of course, as soon as I started sponsoring, I started to feel that sense of, oh my God, this is helping me so enormously, and really enriching and adding more insight and strength to my own recovery. And also, you know, I think I thought of it as first we recover and then we help other people. Now I think of it more as recovering is an ongoing thing. Hopefully get to some point where we're recovered and no longer in the kind of pain and trapped life that we were in when we started, but even if we still have growth to do, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have nothing yet to offer. And I think it is in giving away all of the healing that we've been given that we can heal us up some more ourselves and learn more things and keep what we've already got. So anyway, it has been enormously helpful to me to be of service to others, and so gratifying to, as other people have said, see other people get better and take back portions of their life, or even, like me, find a new life that they never had before. And so I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to do that, which does feel like an opportunity, even though I started out feeling less like that was the case. It's been really enriching for my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Tassie T. I will now remind everyone we're on page 89, starting with practical experience shows and reading through two paragraphs, ending with is the bright spot of our lives, and the comments are on both. And I will now take some more names for our second half.
Laura F.
Laura
Courtney
F.
B.
Bonnie M.
Bonnie M.
Courtney B.
I got Courtney. I got
okay.
You, Courtney. And I have Laura S. too.
Bonnie M.
I got you, Bonnie. Thank you.
Sherry D. Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Sima M.
Okay, we'll stop there. Sima M. All right, I have Laura S., Courtney B., Bonnie M., Sherry, I can't read my own writing, I think it's R., and Lisa J.R., and Sima M. Okay, Laura S., will you get us started, followed by Courtney B.?
Thank you so much, moderator. It's Devorah S.
Oh,
Devorah.
Thank you.
Hi.
Sorry
thank
about
you
that.
So much. No problem. You do a great job. Thank you, everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. I'm Devorah S. from New Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and really grateful to be able to be here with you guys today. You know, when I got into program in 1999, it was told to me, my sponsor said to me at that time, I reached 90 days of abstinence, and she said, you know what, now you have to sponsor. And I didn't know anything about sponsoring. I mean, I just got into program myself, and she said, now it's time for me to give it away. And I said, well, I don't know. What do I have? She said, well, you know, what am I have? I felt like I was so inadequate. And she said, well, you know what? You're not eating for 90 days. You have something to share. And that came with me, you know, I sponsored like that a long time because that's all I had. I wasn't in the big box, you know, and I spoke to my sponsees about what I do, you know, on a daily basis and how I'm not eating and I lost all this weight and it's really working and, you know, all the tools and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but it only goes until so far. And then I, you know, that went on for many, many years, and I found a sponsor who took me through the book, you know, line by line and word for word. And periodically she would stop and she'd say to me, you promise that you're going to do this with someone else. And I said, yes, of course, yes. And she said, okay, just making sure, because that's your obligation. You know, you're going to give away, you know, what you're gaining from what we're doing together, and you're going to work with someone else, because that's what's going to keep it. And you know, I'm so grateful for that, because that's what I do today. You know, I sponsor other people, and it brings me back to where I came from and what I... you know, what I'm doing today. You know, when I give away, you know, when I'm helping another person, first of all, I'm reviewing. I just have to constantly be reminded. I have to constantly be in the book to remember what it was like and just to remember what I do, you know, and each new experience, each time I'm working with another person, it just rekindles the excitement in this book and keeps me afloat. You know, just as I have to say, you know, whatever profession you're in, you're always looking for looking for new, you know, you're always going for continuing education. You know, my husband's a lawyer. He's always going. They're always giving, you know, more classes to help him grow more in that field. I'm an education. I was always So these sponsorings also helping me continuously remember, because I have a tendency to forget. It's so easy to forget where I come from. And this is why I sponsor, because, you know, I need that extra insurance in this policy that I take out every day in working this step. You know, this is what I do. And of course, it's thrilling to see, to watch people grow and to recover. You know, that is the bright light. It is a wonderful thing to see. And it, you know, and I'm so grateful to be able to do that today. And you know what? Doing this service extends into my own, you know, my own family life, people around me, even strangers on the, you know, saying good morning to another person. Just being available for other people gets me out of myself with all walks of life, wherever I am. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Devorah S. Courtney B., followed by Bonnie M. Courtney
B., Northern California. Can you hear
me? Yes, okay. I can.
Well, this, oh, God, you guys, look, when I came in, waddled into OA, my heart was frozen. I didn't want to feel. I lived in my head. My head was disconnected from my body. I didn't want other people. I'd been too hurt in relationships growing up. It was not something I wanted at all. No. So when somebody said service, I about puked. I'm like, yeah, right, that ain't happening. I mean, it was hard enough, the God concept. Yeah, right. God had hurt me more than all of you. Because you guys are asking me to trust, take the risk of trust. I hadn't had good experiences with that, but I was, boy, was I desperate. And I must tell you that it's like you're asking me to say those awful words. Can you help me? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. All I know is I'm miserable, but I trust, not a good experience. So I was hurt, and we're going to get healed with service? No, not interested. But in here, what I did learn, nobody shamed me for my crazy binging. Nobody shamed me for being obese. I certainly had that enough before I came in. Just hearing people's stories, that gave me the willingness to take the risk to get a sponsor with a capital S. And you know what touched me? Nothing that we even talked about. That when I called her, she said, call me at 7:30. When I called her, 99% of the time, that woman answered. I couldn't believe it. She actually answered. And she gave me 15 minutes to talk and share. And God is so sneaky. I love how he works, because it worked. One time I called her, I said, I can feel my heart. The ice is melting. What's going on? But it felt good. I wasn't afraid. And then what bothered me is like, oh, no. I noticed that it bothered me when I didn't see people at the meetings. And I went, oh, crap, I'm actually caring about these people. And if you give service, when I wanted to go missing in action because I was emotionally wasted or whatever, people called. I'm like, oh, crap, but I promised I'd be at the meeting. I better show. So for me, it was, you know, God has to be subtle and work, but it's this heart-to-heart taking the risk of trusting, and that's the whole purpose of this, is learning, take the risk of trust. And, of course, I've learned, it's like, and I learn boundaries now, and I get to make amends when I don't behave correctly. As I said last week, I only insulted two people. Yay, that's huge for me. And this is real life. I am so much happier because I've learned I can, learning to trust in a God that's good all the time. And so when people hurt me, let me down, disappoint me, whatever, it's like, we're human. I've done it too. But I can trust underneath our foibles, right? That this heart-to-heart connection, it's true. When somebody said we've been hurt in relationships, God will use others to heal us. And so now I don't, like I said, I actually seem to care to have a home and family and sisters and mommies. I have a lot of mommies now. So take the risk of trust. Thanks.
Thank you, Courtney B. Bonnie M., followed by Sherry R.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. I'm from Anthem, Arizona, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks, Mo, for your service. Thank you all for being there, and thank you, God. You know, when I first walked into the rooms of OA, the one thing that I really noticed was the intimacy in the group. The intimacy, the recovery, and I didn't know that kind of intimacy anywhere else. And I was in a helping profession where I worked with addicts, but I worked with them in a more clinical way prior to going in that meeting. And I'll have to say that once I got into the program, I could never work in the same way again. And I am so grateful for that. And I've been retired now since, I mean, actually, I don't ever consider myself retired, but from taking a paycheck since, for several years now. And not too long ago, I went to a meeting on a trip in Northern California, a 12-step meeting, because that's where my practice was when I was working. And I hadn't been to that meeting or seen those people since the late 90s. And there must have been at least 20 of my clients in that meeting that were still going to the meeting. And I got goosebumps and tears because I knew that God had used me to make a difference to those people. And they were still there. And I think the only other thing I want to say is has to do with, you know, I was pulled in by the word intensive work. And I still do intensive work. You know, I'm in a program. I have connections all day long. And when people call me, they're loving me as much as I am when I am calling them. And I always encourage people. I heard one time that the thing that we're all most starving for is acknowledgement. And to have somebody call me is acknowledgement. For me to call somebody else, I hope they look at it as acknowledgement and the willingness to be there for them. And, you know, isn't that what a good part of what love is all about anyway? And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie M. Sherry R., I think, followed by Lisa J. R.
It's Sherry D. Hi, I'm Sherry
oh,
D.,
B.
and I'm from Los Angeles, and
oh,
I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. I love these two paragraphs so much, and the thing that really comes to mind for me is all of my sponsors would always say the same thing to me. This is prior to me sponsoring. They would say, I'm getting so much more out of your calls and me helping you than opposite. And I thought, oh, this is just something sponsors have to say to their sponsees. It's probably just like they say, I love you and all that kind of stuff. And I just didn't believe it. And, you know, I've been sponsoring now for many years. And the truth is, those sponsees, I get way more from helping a sponsee with my experience, strength, and hope, especially when God brings people into my life who have had like the same experience that I struggled with years ago. And I think, oh, this is so God. Much more than they're getting from me. I get more from them. And I never say no to a sponsorship request. I will have, it doesn't matter how many sponsees I have, I will never say no to it because the hand of OA was there for me. And I don't believe in I'm too full. I have a very big life. I work two jobs. I'm planning a wedding. And you know, the truth is, the more sponsees that I have and work with, the more time I have. This has been my experience. And also what's really helpful is that I have double digit and Al-Anon. So I know I take care of my boundaries and my time frames and what works for me. And that allows me to be of service in sponsorship and take people through the big book and work all the steps and help them find their higher power, which is my only job. And I can do all that for fun and for free when I take care of what works for me in my schedule. And as long as somebody's willing to do the work, I'm willing to meet them. Now, having said that, there are a lot of people that ask me to sponsor them that only want to maybe go to one meeting and they're too busy and they want to work, you know, the steps out of, you know, whenever they want to get around to it, and they just want to call with the problem. And that doesn't work for me because then that disrupts my program. So really, it's I do it as out of selfishness. I need to make sure that whoever I'm working with is also in the solution so that my program can be stronger. So I can tell you that I would not be abstinent today without my sponsees. And there have been many times that I've said to myself, I can't break my abstinence because these beautiful women are relying on me to help them. And that's the only thing that saved me. And I wonder what would have happened, you know, had I not had them in many cases. So anyways, thank you so much for letting me share. And I'm so loving this vision for you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Sherry B. And we have 5 minutes left. So if Lisa J.R. and Sima M. would take about 2 minutes each, that would be helpful. Lisa J.R.?
Hey, this is Lisa J.R., and I can say what I have to say quick. Thanks, Mo, for your easygoing service. Well, you know, this whole sponsorship thing, you know, my God, I believe truly if this had been written in this century, it would have been a yellow and black book, and it would have said God for Dummies. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that I needed to give away what I had been given. As much as I stumbled in the beginning, I just, you know, went headlong into it. And you can't go wrong if you stick to the book. There's no pressure. The book speaks for itself. And, you know, it's been such a blessing because I think of page 15, you know, my wife and I abandon ourselves. That is my go-to when I'm down, when I'm having a pity party, when I'm feeling all the things that Bill felt in that paragraph. And I know the family afterwards says, you know, God, only God can take our greatest defect and make it our greatest asset. And, you know, we're uniquely qualified here to talk to somebody and share the message. And I can say, you know, there's been no greater joy in my life than spending these later years of my life working with others, and they've given me so much more than I've ever gotten. It is so true. So don't be afraid to sponsor if you're out there. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Lisa J.R. You kept it short. And Sima M., you'll close us out. Thank you very much. Press star one, Sima.
Hi, this is Sima M.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. I'm going into a doctor's appointment, so I don't have much time, but I just wanted to say I just appreciate your service and everybody else's service. And I heard so many people that said what I wanted to say that all I can say is thank you. Thank you, OA. Thank you, A Vision for You. And let God use me as he sees fit. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Sima. Well, we have 2 minutes if somebody would like to take a two-minute chair here. Anyone?
Patty T.
Okay, Patty. You go.
Oh, hi, everybody. You know what? All I want to say about this is that sponsoring gives me the opportunity, no matter what state I'm in, to rejoice with another over my recovery. You know, whenever I talk to a sponsee or whenever I talk to another fellow, when I get off the phone, I feel joyful. I just feel in such joy, and it just adds to my gratitude. So no matter what day I've had or what kind of sleepless night I might have had or whatever, You know, I just find that gratitude every time I speak with one of you, and I love my Fonzies. Thanks so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. And thank you, everyone, who gave service at this meeting and to all those who shared. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Sherry KB please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.